Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for today comes from our Gospel. Mark chapter 1, Jesus has these words of invitation to Andrew and Peter, but also to us. Follow me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. Dear friends, I'd like to start out with a children's story. It's a fantasy story back from the 19th century, very old, and I'm just going to paraphrase it and put it together for you to hear the story. The story is called The Princess and the Goblin. The story is really about the relationship between a fairy godmother and a little girl, an 8-year-old girl. The fairy godmother gives that girl a beautiful ring. And attached to that ring is an invisible yarn of thread. And the yarn is tied ultimately to the ring. But again, the thread and the yarn, or the ball of yarn, is completely invisible. When the fairy godmother gives the ring that's tied to the yarn, invisible yarn, to the girl, the fairy godmother says these words: "If you ever get into trouble, follow the thread, feel it out, and go to where it leads." Again, the fairy godmother repeated those words of instruction. If ever you get into challenging circumstances, no matter what, follow the thread to where it leads. It's going to take you to some really tough spots, in fact, some dead ends. But no matter what you do, follow the thread. The girl agreed because she absolutely loved the ring. An 8-year-old and a ring? That's great. Of course, fairy godmother, I'll do it. And trouble came. The goblin came after the girl. And when the goblin came after the girl, she did remember the words of the fairy godmother, and she followed him. She followed the invisible thread, felt the thread, ultimately to where it would lead. At first she thought, it's going to lead right to the fairy godmother, and I'm going to be safe. But it didn't. It leads the girl to some tough places. The first place is a brick wall. The girl thought about giving up and turning around, but there was the goblin, but she knocked down the wall. And it led next to a cave. Certainly the fairy godmother isn't in a cave, but the girl remembered the words, follow the thread wherever it goes. She followed into the cave, and then to 3 more places that seemed to be dead ends. And ultimately, she was led to the ball of yarn, and ultimately led beyond that to her fairy godmother. This children's story really is to encourage the idea of just doing the next step in life, following, no matter what, following through on a promise to the person that we need to be to, this fairy godmother. Now, I share this story because I think it relates well with, in a way, what Jesus is trying to communicate here in Mark chapter 1. Jesus has a similar word of instruction. He says this: follow me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. Or we could say fishers of people. That's really what it's getting at. Fishers of people. Fishers of men. And what we know from this text is that 4 disciples follow Jesus right off the bat. Andrew and Peter, they have small nets, probably catching fish for breakfast or something like that. And then also we have James and John. They also follow Jesus as well. They have bigger nets that they're using to catch fish. Here's the question for today. Why did they follow Jesus? Why do you follow Jesus? Now, the reality of it is in this text is that they didn't follow Jesus because he gave them a good plan of where they'd go. In fact, Jesus didn't say anything about where they were going to go. We follow things when we have a clear plan of where we're headed. Jesus doesn't say anything about the good places that they'd go into the future. He doesn't say to Peter and Andrew, hey, we're going to go to a great party in Cana, and there's going to be wine there. And Jesus also doesn't say, hey, it's going to be great. We'll have lots of moments in which we can fish late into the morning. Jesus also doesn't say anything about the treacherous places that they're going to go, the place where Jesus would ultimately be captured, in the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus doesn't say anything about how the authorities are going to come after them. There's no plan here. This is crazy. Why would you follow someone that doesn't have a plan? You and I don't do that today, do we? You wouldn't follow a class not knowing where it would ultimately end up. That wouldn't make sense in university, in college, or even in high school. You wouldn't go on a trip not knowing the destination or where you were going to stop and what you're going to do. You really wouldn't follow anyone if you didn't know their plan. So why did these disciples, and why do we follow Jesus? Another thing's for certain, and that is we tend to follow people if they give some kind of inspiring speech that moves us. Usually that leads us to follow some personality or some person. You know, this last week we celebrated Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. It was on Monday. And as I was watching some shows on him and doing some reading up on Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., I came to the realization that his speech back in 1963 really moved a lot of people. The I Have a Dream speech. Perhaps you've seen, maybe you watched it when it happened, or maybe you've seen it. But man, he delivered this speech with such passion and such rhetoric and with great intensity. And there was a need to share this speech, a very specific need. And with clarity and with clearness, he spelled out a message of hope in which there would be a day in which it would be very different than the times in which Dr. Martin Luther King was living back in 1963. Many, many people today point to that speech as the moment in which people started to follow his movement, what he taught. Do you realize Christianity today has 2.4 billion people? That's a lot of people. You might think that there was an amazing speech like Dr. Martin Luther King that inspired people to follow this movement. Now, what we hear in this text is very simple. Follow me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. That's not really all that inspiring. Now, what we know is that Andrew and Peter had probably been around Jesus before this. Maybe they heard him share some other words. But still, it's striking that they'd follow Jesus with such simple words. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Not really a plan. Not necessarily inspiring words. So why do they follow? I have a theory. I think James, John, Andrew, and Peter were so taken by just who Jesus was. You know, there's a big difference between admiring someone and being taken in, loving them just for who they are. Think about that for a moment. When you admire someone, you tend to really come up with one cause for why you admire them, and you stand back from a distance. But you see, when you love someone, you're taken in by just who they are, and you follow them. You know, you might say, I admire someone because they're courageous. That's the cause. Or you might say, I admire her because she's really smart, or I admire him because he really achieved a lot. But again, you admire someone because there is a cause. But when you love someone, it's different. If someone were to come up to me and ask me, what's the reason why you love your wife? I could come up with some clear reasons why I love my wife. I could list them out. Here's one reason. I love my wife because we have common interests. Or I love my wife because we enjoy watching sports. Or I love my wife because we enjoy just sitting and playing a board game. And as I list those things out, ultimately I'd get to the point where I'd say, it's kind of silly just to list one reason. I love her just because who she is. In fact, I can't even give a reason. It's just her. I love her and I want to follow her. See, Andrew and Peter, James and John, didn't just admire Jesus. There was something about him, about who he was, that made them say, yes, I want to follow Jesus. This is God. My friends, we too can get to that point where we can follow Jesus just because we're taken in by just who he is. Why do so many people have an aversion to religion or aversion to Jesus? I have a theory. It's because when most people seek out Jesus, they really just want to admire one part of him. They want to admire maybe his ethics or admire his teachings or admire his miracles. That'll never get us to the point where we will follow him. That'll distance ourselves from him. What the Bible asks us to do is just be so taken in by him that there's nothing else that we can do but follow him. How can we get to that point? My friends, just simply start listing the reasons why you love him. He came and was born for you. Didn't have to. He did it voluntarily. He came and he died for you. He was perfect. You weren't perfect, but by his death, he brought you into his kingdom. Didn't have to. He did it voluntarily. His death overcame the grave. He didn't do it for himself, but so that he could be the first fruits of the resurrection of the dead to bring you on board. And Jesus, if you keep listing things, he did emanate the fruit of the Spirit. You just saw love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, goodness, and self-control. You saw it when you looked at Jesus. And that's what he gives to you as well in the forgiveness of sin. But as you list all those things, isn't it true you just get to a point that it's not just one reason for loving Jesus, it's just because of who he is. How beautiful he is, how he just shows who God is to you. When you get to that point, and we all can, and I'm so glad that you do this, that's when you can follow him wherever he takes you. And you know, the reality of it is, it's like that story with the fairy godmother. Sometimes Jesus takes us to what seems to be dead ends. And sometimes he takes us to places that we'd never expect to go to, but it's worth it because at the end he's there. And how good it is to be with him and to follow him as our Lord and Savior. But here's the thing. Comes with a challenge. Jesus says these words, "Come follow me, and I will make you to become fishers of people." Now, I'm not a great fisherman, but what I've realized is this little saying of Jesus is kind of a clever twist on fishing. You know, when you fish get happy when they see me because they know they're not going to get caught. But I know there's some of you that are tuning in, man, you're good fishermen and you get it every single time. And what I understand about fishing, however, is this, is that when the fish are in the water, that's where they're meant to be, that's where they thrive. When you catch them and take them out of the water, they're on dry land or they're in your boat, they don't thrive, they die. Actually, fishing is a destructive activity. I'm saying I like it, but the fish, they don't survive once you catch them. Jesus is twisting it around here, and what he's saying here is this, is that people are living in chaos. The sea in biblical times was a sign for chaos, the ends of the earth, the place where it was hard to find God. When Jesus uses this little statement here, he's kind of saying people are living in chaos. They're living in places where they weren't, where really they're not going to thrive, in places where they weren't meant to be. It's your job by the authority that I give you to catch them. Take them out of the world, draw them closer to me so that they can be where they're meant to be with me. You see, you and I aren't meant to live in chaos. We were meant to be with Jesus from the very beginning. So the challenge perhaps this week with this message is to simply be on the lookout for people that are living in chaos. That may be a Christian, by the way. We sometimes think this text, become a fisher of men, is really about church. Like, let's increase church attendance. Like, that's really going to help God. And that's a good thing, not necessarily a bad thing. But I think there's more going on here with this text. That Jesus is asking us to really be on the lookout for people that are living in chaos. Broken relationships, physical pain, grief, loss, really feeling the effects of isolation. These are the things that are happening in today's world. We want to be on the lookout for those people that are living in chaos. And again, it could be someone in church. It could be someone outside of church. It could be someone that attends church. It could be someone that doesn't attend church. How can you catch them and bring them out of the chaos? Could it be a word from Jesus? Could it be a kind act? Could it be just emanating one of those fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control, faithfulness? Whatever it is, think about a way that you can catch someone and bring them, draw them closer to Jesus where they were meant to be. Let's take a moment and pray about that, and then we'll move on with the rest of our service. Dear Jesus, we thank you for this time together to really take in your invitation. Follow me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. Lord, give us a sense to have a high calling of commitment to follow you. Lord, give us a heart to take you in, for as you are, as you present yourself to us, so that we're not just on the sidelines admiring you or just watching you, but we're drawn in to your ministry, for your heart for people, for your heart for people living in chaos. Give us courage this week as we seek to follow you. In Jesus' name, amen.